Welcome to the November 10th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Lovell Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and the sermon is entitled, The Blessing of Family, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Grab your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter number 6. If you have your Bibles marked from last week, it's just one chapter over, okay? I'm not going back to last week or the weeks before, but I hope and I pray that the messages on marriage blessed you in some way. I know that many of them challenged us, and I pray that they do. And I know that we set the standard. But in the overview of the family today, we continue along and looking at the family unit, and in particular, the children, as they are a blessing in our lives. But not only that, our role as parents. Now, there are weeks that I get a lot of mail, whether it's an email or a letter or somebody talking to me. I always have someone in my ear, and that's not a bad thing. But there are times when my weeks are blessed a little bit more by a message from a child. How many of you know that messages from children carry a lot of weight? Amen? The I love yous from your children and your grandchildren, they carry a lot of weight. Well, I'm grateful for this little piece of mail that I received, and I'm going to show it to you. I know you can't see it. On the bottom of it is a drawn heart and stars and a cross right in the middle of it. But here are the words, and Natalie titled this, What I'm Thankful For. And here's her little letter. It was given to me, but it is her letter to God. Listen to these words. Dear God, I am thankful for what you have done for me. I'm also thankful for you forgiving me. And the most two important things are putting me on this world and dying on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
Listen how she signs it. Love your daughter. Natalie.
Amen.
Sometimes we need to come before a holy God just like a child.
Amen.
And I'm grateful that children remind us of that. That in their innocence and in their purity, they cling to the only thing they know. And a lot of what they know, they are taught from their parents and their family. So today, the message may be about children, but I pray that every adult that leaves this room knows that, number one, you are a child of somebody, and I pray a child of God, but also that you have influence over the next generation and over children in ways that you cannot imagine. Some families are blessed to fit a mold that we have in our mind in American society of a man and a woman, a father and a mother, and children that are just decorated around them. Those days are still here, but the picture of that perfect family has been affected by so much. It is affected by death. It is affected by divorce. It is affected by sin. And it has reshaped what the family looks like. But here's what I realize as a believer, as a pastor, is this. I didn't get a choice in my family. God blessed me with them. And because God has chosen that family from me, God has given me the opportunity to minister to my family. How we manage, how we lead, how we set examples for our family are very important. And husbands and dads, today you are called to be the spiritual leader of your family. Yes, we move from marriage to family, but family involves a man and a woman that will lead the family unit. So today's scripture, as we think about children, and we think about our situations, we know that it may not be storybook, but according to the Bible, every one of us still has responsibility and a job to mentor the next generation. We are all children, and we serve them in ways as we pass the Lord Jesus Christ along to them. How many in this room, by just a simple raise of hand and put it back down, would say, I had good parents? The majority of us would do that. Now, I'm not going to put us on the spot, but how many of us think that we're good parents? We do. But here's what I want to recognize. As I slip my hand up very cautiously, I know I fall short in so many ways. Today, there are three words that are going to dominate this sermon. And I hope that the blessing of family is not found in how big it is. The blessing of family is not where you're located. The blessing of family stems and starts with Jesus and then flows no matter what the circumstances look like. And so today, I'm grateful that the blessing of family comes from the Lord. And as we look to Him to lead our families and lead our situations, He will bless us in looking to Him. So today, Ephesians chapter number 6, just four verses today. Here's what God's Word says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, today I pray, Lord, that as you will use my stammering tongue and lips, Lord, that you will sidestep everything that I have to say on paper. And Lord, through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will speak to these families and to this congregation today. Thank you that for those that are joining us in-house and those that are watching live stream. And we pray that as we look at your word, Lord, that your word will challenge us as fathers and mothers and families to surround that next generation and lead them to you. Lord, we love you and thank you for this time together. And we pray your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. The blessing of family comes, point number one, when children obey. Wow, I didn't get an amen from a parent. Okay, I was surprised there. I was waiting on it. That's the time when the parent just nudges your child and says, listen to this point. Okay, parents, nudge your children and say, listen here. Pay attention right here. But here's what I want you to know. The blessing of family comes when children obey. Here's the kicker. Every one of us are children, and every one of us has disobeyed. When we think about the blessing and the word obedience, we send our dogs to school for it. And yet in our own homes, sometimes it feels like they're the only ones that are listening. Obedience. Submission to authority or compliance with a request. It seems very simple, but I've learned some lessons in life the hard way. How many of you have learned lessons the hard way in life? You know, we could have avoided those hard lessons if we would have just listened to somebody that has been there before. And our parents, and I'm guilty of this, of looking at my mom and dad like they had like four heads and six eyes, and you don't know what you're talking about. And how many of us know that they do? Our parents are very wise. When we think about a lesson on obedience, it's important because obedience is used throughout our lives. It's not just listening to mom and dad. It happens in the workplaces. It happens in serving. It happens in the military. It happens on our spiritual walk. Here's the reality. We must obey somebody in some way every single day. If it's simply God Almighty, we've got to obey Him every day. And so when we think about obedience, we nudge our kids and say, listen up. But maybe God is nudging every one of us and say, listen here. Listen. I need you to respect and obey what I have commanded. Obedience is important in so many areas of life, But in our homes, they serve as the training grounds for the next generation. And if we had that mindset, not that we're trying to survive, but we're training the next generation, it's amazing what would happen within our homes. And so the parents are the first place that the training occurs, and that obedience must be learned and taught within the home. Now, I'm not going to try to make anybody mad, but the church can serve as training grounds as well. But where it makes it hard for the church and hard for the school is when the training doesn't happen at home. And when that training is lacking, then the church is able to step in and love children and lead children and bring them to the Lord, because Jesus says, bring the little children to me. I will never turn a little child away. But when we think of that as far as obedience, the primary place of training is the home. And it starts with parents who look to the Lord because they are obedient. The greatest example in all the world in obedience is Jesus himself. In Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 8, it says this, that Jesus was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. But remember those words too for us adults. John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so it's hard for me to nudge my boys or tell them pay attention here, because guess what? God is telling me to be obedient because I'm his child as well. But obedience, when we think about that word, we think it needs to be enacted by someone else or other people, and it's hard for us to look in the mirror. Look at verse number 1 again. It starts with children. It's amazing to me that Paul would write a letter to the people and to the church and address children in it. But here's what I want you to see, that children were important. Now listen to me. Children are important in the church today. We're not raising them for just to be a future generation. The children are the church of today. And that's how we need to view them. So many times we push them or tell them to be quiet or tell them it's better to be seen and not heard, and we push them back. And that's not what we need to do. Children are a part of the church. But as Paul writes, he starts with children with a very simple command: obey your parents in the Lord. What does that mean? Here's what that means. If you are a child, that you must obey and listen to your parents as long as they are right in the eyes of God. If they are doing something that is counteractive to what God tells you to do, then politely and respectfully, you decline to listen. If your parents tell you you don't need to go to church, don't start an argument, but that goes against what God's word says. But here's what I want to tell you. As he writes to children, there is no age definition. We label a child under the age of 18, but I'm talking to children that are representative of all ages today. And here's the hard part. Even if you are a 40 or 50 or 60-year-old child, you are still commanded by God to honor and obey your parents in the Lord. That's hard. We grow up in a society that says you're old enough, you can do what you want to do, live how you want to live, just don't bother me. No, we are to still obey our parents in the Lord. Well, Jeffrey, you told me in the last sermon that if I got married, I left and I was to cleave to somebody else. Yes, but you're still to honor your parents. And it carries with it a form of respect. When I read those words, that'll lead into the next point. But as I, in verse number 6, here is the reason why Paul writes, for this is right. For it's right. You need to obey your parents because it is the right thing to do. End of story. No argument. But it must start in the home. So parents, grandparents, today we have that responsibility to teach obedience and to expect it in return.
Amen.
Children, which is everybody in this room, we are commanded in verse number 1 that we are to obey our parents as far as we can in the Lord, because it is the right thing to do.
Amen.
Moving along, point number 2. Look at verses 2 and 3. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The blessing of family comes, point number 2 is this, when honor is displayed. When honor is displayed. How do we honor something or somebody? Usually, we honor a flag when we stand. Sometimes we honor the reading of God's word when we stand. So sometimes we have to take a stand to honor something. Today I'm asking every person in this room and that is watching live stream today to take a stand and honor your parents. Honor your father and mother. What is the difference between honor and obedience? I'm glad you asked. Honor is taking care of them. It carries with it respect that extends to them and to other relationships and people of authority. You honor your parents in how you talk and how you respond to them. Now's when you nudge your teenagers, okay? Nudge your teenagers. The tone in which you address somebody is important. And yes, I'm preaching that. So many times, we flippantly roll our eyes, not at our parents, but as children of God, at God. God, you're asking me to do what? God, you're leading me to do what? And we can't expect those that are under our direction to honor God if the parents and if we're not doing that. You can support your parents. You can help them when they're in need. You can honor them through your obedience. And you may even need to forgive them. I know today there's no perfect family tree. And maybe the greatest way that you can honor your mother and father is because that relationship in some way is twisted and torn. And simply by going to them today, this afternoon, and calling them up and say, I love you and I forgive you no matter what, that is honoring your parents. It's hard. It's hard. Because every family situation is different. I told you this leading in. I didn't choose my parents. God did. And oftentimes I viewed my parents kind of like a road. At times that they've been the lines that have kept me in my lane, okay? When I've run over something or when I crossed the line, they gently got me back in my lane. Amen? Maybe they are directional errors and signs that point you in where you need to go. You haven't gotten there yet, but loud and clear, your parents are pointing the direction. Go this way. And I'm going to tell you that my parents have served in both of those areas, but here's where the best way they have served. They have served as guardrails. Because, full disclosure, I would have run the thing off the road if it wasn't for my parents. The guardrails keep you going a certain direction. And yes, it may take some bumps and bruises and arguments and disagreements and fights along the way, but they kept me on the narrow road. And I'm thankful for that. And so today, I want you to know that honoring your father and your mother may be abrasive sometimes, but they want the very best for you. Do not think otherwise. Verse number 2 says that we need to honor our father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. How many of you know that that is on the top 10 do not do list, or the do list? Honor your father and mother, right? The top 10 list, it's on there. And from the very beginning, God had a purpose in honoring parents, because those godly parents were to steer the generation to follow God. And so we are to honor our parents. These commandments were directing the children of Israel to follow a very holy God. But in this, you see, it is the first with promise. And that promise speaks to this. In verse number 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. That talks about God taking care of your days. Now look, I don't want you to go home today and say, I got to listen to your mom and daddy because I'll have a long life. That's not the reason to listen to your parents. Or I've got to listen to you, mom and dad, because I'll be blessed. It's going to be well with me, and I just need to do it because of that. No, those are not good reasons to listen to your parents. Those are blessings because you honor God by listening to your parents. So here's where we transition. Children, we honor our parents because we are honoring our God. Because God gets the glory from that. And because of that, He will bless and He will lead our lives. So verse number 1 says we need to do it because it is right. How many of you grew up with parents that said, do this because I said so? Yeah, I had that kind of parent too. Do it or else. Well, listen, God is saying the same thing. Do it or else. You will lack the blessing of it. We need to honor our parents. We need to obey our parents because God has commanded us to do so. Yes, it is right, but God's word commands men and women, boys and girls, to honor and obey their parents. Now, why in the world do I need to preach this sermon in a church in 2024? Because the world's going crazy. And we've got to get back to the basics. And the basics aren't what the preacher thinks. The basics is what the Bible says. So the blessing of family, it starts with God. It trickles down through marriage of a husband and a wife. And then it bleeds into the kids, into the family, when they honor and obey what the parents say. Now, what this verse doesn't say, it doesn't say that you're going to make it to 100. This verse does not say that tragedy will never occur or you will never go through troubles. It doesn't say any of that. What it says, as children, we must honor and obey our parents, and in doing so, we glorify God and receive His blessing. And so, today, maybe if you leave here with nothing else, it is the challenge to honor and obey. There is one more reason in verse number 4 that I want to look at today in the blessing of a family. Look at verse number 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The blessing of family comes when discipling your children. Discipling your children. I don't know about you, but when Terry and I first got married, we had all kinds of people that were ready for us to have kids, right? You got the pokes from family of when you're going to have children. And I hope those people that did that in your family are still around to help in the process, and ours are as well, and we're thankful for that. But here's what I want you to know. That discipling process of my family, my two boys, now Terry and I are chief in that. But it extends to grandparents, and it extends to aunts and uncles, and it extends in so many different directions. If my kids ever come and are around you, you have permission to disciple them and to discipline them. And here's what I want you to know. They carry a meaning here that we've got to look at. I want you to see the dynamics here. In verse number 1, Paul starts with parents. Children, obey your parents. Look at that word, parents. In verse number 2, Paul moves to father and mother. And in verse number 4, we're just down to the father. Maybe it should have been written in opposite order, but no, here's the command and what Paul is trying to say. I believe that children need both parents. I don't care what demographic, I don't care where you are, children need both parents. And maybe you're blessed to have both parents in the same home. Maybe that looks very different, but here is the truth. Both parents are needed in a child's life. That's the way God has designed it. So even if your situation is not good, or you're separated or divorced, father and mothers need to be in the child's life. But that being said, as we look at the situation and the responsibility that is given to the fathers, I want to say this. So much is raising our children today. We have social media that are influencing and raising our children. We have platforms, gaming platforms, that our children spend hours and hours on and that are influencing that. We have peers that are influencing. All of these are influencing the family more than you realize. So here's just my little 2 cents, and I'm off script. Don't turn your children loose on a game for 8 hours a day and expect the family to function right. It will not. Don't turn your children loose with everybody under the sun and think they're going to come home all right. They're not. We had a conversation this week. There are friends that I approve of, and there are friends that I am cautious of. I'm not trying to tell you how to raise your children. I'm just warning you here who the primary influence should be. Parents, fathers and mothers, and now we get to fathers. The reality in our country of families that are going through life without a father in the picture is skyrocketing. And we wonder why our nation is falling apart. Amen. I want you to see the picture of God's word is that the father must be involved in a child's life. Right. And how is that involvement? Look in verse number 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm personally grateful for godly parents, but I too grew up in a family that was divorced. And so now, hence the passion behind why fathers are needed. One of the greatest earthly influences in the world is the parent. And if you are a godly parent, and if you have a godly parent that is still alive, you promise your pastor one thing. In some way or another, you hug their neck, you kiss their cheek, you call them today and thank them for what they have done in your life. Please do that. Because when they are gone, you cannot do that anymore. Tell your mama and daddy how much you love them. But Paul says this, the responsibility in verse number 1 was the parents, and then it narrowed down to mama and daddy, and now it is centered on the father. The great responsibility of the father and of men is not provoking your children to wrath. The idea is, Paul, as he writes, is that our children are encouraged by their earthly father as a picture and a love of their heavenly father. Fathers, you are to lay down rules. I'm not going to help you there. You lay down your rules. Fathers, I pray that you lay down those rules and you lead your families. But spiritually, you are to model and to teach obedience and respect. And you are to demonstrate that even toward your children. You are to mirror Christ to them. And as both parents do that, it's amazing the blessing. But fathers, today, Those words in chapter number 4, if you are a dad here, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4, you circle that verse. And you begin to pray over that verse. And you begin to model that verse. And you become a disciple to your children and to your grandchildren. Here's what that verse says. Verse number 4, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. That word carries with it nourishment and care and direction in doing so. It's not this. Now listen, I know there have been seasons, and praise God for Terry in my life, because of work and demands, I wasn't there a lot of time. And so much of our lives, we have been missing out of the picture. And here's what I'm encouraging godly men to do. Sacrifice something for your children. Because if you don't leave them, something or somebody else will. And I would rather have that godly influence. That doesn't dictate how they will turn out, but it carries with it, as we bring them up, is we are caring and we are directing and we are pointing them toward our Savior. Verse number 4, it says to bring them up in the nurture. Do you see that word nurture? With that is training. That word, if you look at its root, is discipline and training. It is the idea that we lead in training them and pointing them to Jesus. So it's not just saying, hey, go and do this. Hey, go to church. Or let me use this as an example. It's not saying this, don't touch that. How many of you know that when you get a little child in the room and there's a stove there, you can't just tell that little child, don't touch that. Because if you do, guess where they're running? Straight there, right? Here's what nurture is. It is not just saying, don't touch it. Or it's not just saying, don't touch that. It's taking the time saying, don't touch that or you will get burned. It's getting up from your position of command and instructing them and leading them, don't go there because you will get hurt. So many places that my parents told me not to go, I went and got hurt. And so this word, nurture, is the idea of leading. An admonition is that instruction with the warning. You give them instruction, you give them warning. Today, I don't know if this is the typical sermon you thought you'd hear. But as I boil it down today, here's what I want you to know. Number one, no family in this room is perfect. There's no perfect family tree. Number two, you have no choice of the situation that you are in as a child. You can't pick that. You can't prevent things. You've got to go through life, and I hate to say it this way, with God, make the best of it. The third thing is you need to look to the Lord. And families today, as we think of those words today that lead us, obedience and honor and discipling our children, the responsibility comes back to us. And I know there are people that you may leave here today and say, Jeffrey, I did all of that and my children are far from where they need to be. They're far from the Lord. Listen, you can only do so much. You can only take them so far. But your job is to get them as close to Jesus as you can. And in doing so, you've got to turn the rest over to the God to work and them to make their decisions. So today, as we come to a moment of invitation, what does this mean for us? Here's what it means. As parents, what a job and what a responsibility. I would hate to think that one of my boys missed Jesus because of me. I would take that to eternity. I won't take that to the grave. I will take that to eternity. Parents, it is our responsibility to get them to Jesus. I don't care if they're yours. I don't care if they're children. I don't care if they're grandchildren. I don't care if they're step. I don't care if they're half. I don't care if they're church kids. I don't care if they're neighbors. I don't care who they are. Get them to Jesus. What a responsibility. And today, as it narrows down, moms and dads, it is our responsibility to teach and to lead and to disciple our children to do so. Don't count on the school system to change your kids. We critique the school system. The school system's doing the best they can with what they got. Maybe we can give them something better to work with starting in our own homes. So today, where does it start? Maybe some family says it starts with me. It starts in my home. It starts with myself. It starts with my family. And God, today I want to make a public covenant with you that I will do the very best I can to honor you, to honor my parents, and to lead my children well. Today, make that promise to God. Don't make it to a pastor. Make it to God. Today, maybe you're in a situation that is not ideal, less than ideal. Here's what I want to... I am living proof that God can work. If somebody's not in the picture, don't let that be an excuse. Step up, step in. We've got to do it. Don't let that be an excuse of why you can't be obedient to God. One day you will stand before God. You can't say, it was because of my mama and daddy. He may agree with you, but ultimately it falls on your shoulders. Today, adult children, let's make adult decisions and come before a holy God and ask for His leading. Maybe you're a teenager. Maybe you're a child in this room. Maybe you want to come to this altar and just like little Natalie wrote in her letter, look to God for His leading every day of your life. Maybe you want to pray to be more obedient and to honor, and that God will teach you what it means to be a true child of God. Last thing, today, if you're not a child of God, you may be a child of somebody in this world, but if you're not a child of God, if you haven't surrendered and obeyed to come to Him, that call to come, today you need to do that. In obedience and in honor and in salvation, you need to recognize Jesus Christ took your penalty for sin, and He went to a cross and He died in your place because He loved you. And because He wants you to be His child, He sacrificed His life. He laid it down for you and me that we may live forever in relationship with God the Father. Today, if you need that relationship, I'm not here to beg you. That's God's work. I'm here to ask that you heed the call of the Holy Spirit in your life. As we come in this moment of invitation, we pray that God works now. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank You. Thank You for the great challenge from Your word, Lord, and three areas of obedience and honor and discipling. God, today, Lord, we pray that You will just move in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, I know that every situation is different. Every family is different. And that one thing that unites us here in this place today is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank You that we can look to You in our situations, and we do so. Lord, thank You that we can look to You in our challenges. We do so, Lord, today in the challenge of God's Word. Lord, we pray that You will move mightily, Lord, to challenge men and women, parents and grandparents, children, to be obedient to the Word of God. Lord, today, help us to lead the next generation and point the direction as they grow to Jesus Christ. For that one that needs the Lord today, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will minister to that heart right now, and we will give You all the praise and glory for all You do today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Truth for the Journey from Clifford Baptist Church. You're always welcome to visit Clifford Baptist Church for Sunday school at 9:45, worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday evening worship at 7 p.m. Join us again next Sunday for Truth for the Journey.